Good morning. How are you doing? So good to see you all, and for you all online to see me, because I can't see you, but here's looking at you. And so today, we've been in our series, Arise and Build, and today we're going to have a look at it again. And I trust this series of Arise and Build has helped you to identify and repair and restore week by week each of the gates and these spiritual gates and walls that we've spoken about. And the point of that is hopefully to lead us into more maturity, but more importantly, into a deeper relationship with Jesus. Because at the bridge, everything is about Jesus. And the result of that would be that each one of us would become more effective in the kingdom of God. And underpinning this is of God is God's plan for us as the bridge, for us to arise and build in our own individual lives. But the important thing is that we want to rise and build in His kingdom. Because it's all about Jesus and His kingdom. And so today we're going to speak about completing the task. So this will be the last one in the gate series, as it were, in this Arise and Build. And next week we will start a new series, and I'm excited for that. And when I say completing the task, this doesn't mean, okay, so this is the last one, and now the task is done. You know, in Matthew 28, when it says, go and make all disciples, the import there is, as you go along, make disciples. And so here, completing the task means as we continue in our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, we will continue to complete the task and to grow into maturity. So let's have a look in the Bible, God's Word, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished. On the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days, I don't think we get the import of that, what that looked like, 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and felt greatly in their own esteem. Can you imagine when they saw the wall done and their esteem fell amongst themselves and they were like not so brash and not so confident? I mean, we spoke this morning of being confident in God. I just love the way Kevin opened up this morning about faithfulness, because you're going to see how that impacts our sermons and the words that was brought and the songs that were chosen. If I can say this again and again and again, we cannot make this stuff up, because when we listen to Holy Spirit, we follow what Holy Spirit is saying to us, then it all falls into place like a beautiful jigsaw puzzle. Anyway, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Not their God, our God. And so if you have a look and you really read the full account and go through Nehemiah, it's an amazing book. And the people who had a mind to work, as we've read, and I'm going to help us wrap this up, there were enemies. They all had enemies. People did not want this good thing to happen. Often when you make a stand for His kingdom, when you say, I want to follow Jesus, I want to get into this groove, I want to keep my eyes fixed on Him, whenever we do this, there will those who will come against you and will mock you and ridicule you and even tell lies about you. And we have to know that this is God's business and His kingdom. And your best efforts to restore and to rebuild your gates and walls will be met by opposition. I've told you many times, and the other pastors can testify to this, when they stand up and preach a message here, you can phone them by Wednesday and ask them, did you get attacked? Did you get any doubt? Did you get of what you preached? And they will say, absolutely. And I know that when you stand up to preach, the enemy's paying attention to you. He's listening. You think, I don't want to hear this. No, he's listening, and he will come, and he will try and test you to see if your faith is genuine, if the goodness of God is running after you. I had this picture while we were singing that. Do you know when you're an adult and you have a little toddler, and they're running and you're chasing after them. It's very easy to catch them and grab hold of them. But I think our Father just delights in running after us, the goodness. You know the joy it gives a little toddler when you're chasing him? You can hear the little baby giggle and the laugh. And I think that's what our Father's like. He can run up, he can grab us, he can do stuff, but I think he just loves the enjoyment of running after us and his goodness coming after us. And we like have to be like little kids. This is so much fun. Are you having fun yet? There we go, some of you. Anyway, the problem we have to understand, listen to me carefully, Satan never bothers half-hearted people. When we are half-hearted in what we do, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. The problem here was Sanballat, who was the hero of this thing in terms of being the enemy, was the one who was goading him. He knew that if they built these walls, you can understand. Sometimes you don't even understand. I just want to follow Jesus. Why are they so upset with me? Why are they going crazy? I can tell you a time back in South Africa, Bridget was walking down the road towards our radio station. There was a young man in the road, and she just started talking to him and started sharing the love of Jesus with him. And then eventually he got to the place, I want this Jesus. So in the middle of the street, she starts to lead this young man to the Lord. Except there was another guy in a car, a truck, watching her on the other side of the road. He got so mad, so furious with her, he nearly caused an accident, sped his truck around up onto the pavement, nearly hit them both, shouted out the window, I know what you're doing, I know what you're doing. And she was like, what? Horsegate, spiritual warfare. There was a spirit in him that was rebelling at the spirit in what was going on there. And we have to learn to recognize when the enemy comes against us, we got to allow that horse gate to arise, the spiritual warfare. Because the problem with Sanballat, and if you want to tweet anything, he was thinking of the content of his pocket rather than the condition of the people. He didn't care about the people. He just wanted to make a profit. He just wanted to be in charge. He was a control freak. He just wanted to make all the money. We have to understand the walls had been in ruins for over 100 years. And here, within 52 days, this task was completed. They were repaired. Whenever the enemy sees that God's fingerprint, God's hand is upon your life, the enemy will become disheartened. Take that to the bank. Why? Because they saw that God had a hand in this work of how was this possible that these walls in 52 days had been completed. When we see this fingerprint of God, often we cannot even fathom out, why are you so angry? I just want to follow Jesus. I want to be a Jesus follower. Why are you coming against me? Why are you trying to stop me in this? We have to understand Nehemiah 3 verse 1 commences this journey at the fish gate, at the sheep gate. And then we see that in Nehemiah 3:32, it completes it at the sheep gate. Why? Because everything revolves at the cross. Everything comes back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. It is the finished work of the cross that helps us. And remember, we commenced the series by talking about next to him and next to him. And the theme of this arise and build. Nehemiah 2:18. And they said, let us rise up and build, so they strengthen their hands for the good work. I love the wording here. Why? Why do we need to do this? Why have we labored these points in this gate series? Well, because our hearts are not just for us within these walls. Our hearts are for beyond the walls. Part and parcel, I can't go into today, but if you've been around, that's why we call this church the bridge. Because we want to be a kingdom bridge, a bridge into our community. And so the first point, the bridge, a bridge to our community. Why? Well, that we can be prepared or preparation. God is wanting us to be a beacon of hope, a beacon of light, a lifeline to our community. Yes, even during COVID. Yeah, to prepare ourselves in maturing in these aspects of the gates. You know that I love you all, and I love you guys at home. But if you've just been here week after week and have not done anything about these gates, then I'm sorry for you. I'm smiling while I'm saying this. But our heart is to, my job, the pastor's job here is to call you higher in God. You know, we many years ago we came and there was an advert. Come to our church, not this church. Come to our church, you don't have to change. I was like, what? God receives you as you are, but man, he wants us to change. He wants us to fall more in love with him and his son Jesus and Holy Spirit. He wants us to have a full-time relationship with them. It's not just stay as you are for the rest of your life. We want to be able to cultivate diversity. We want to be preparation for more people coming in here. Different cultures, different backgrounds, different... Man, I'm praying that the Lord will send in so many unsaved people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be a bridge to their friends and family out there. We have to understand that out there, there is a dying world who needs Jesus Christ. The second thing is for restoration. We want to have our walls and our gates restored, strong enough to be able to restore those that come in. Not to ourselves, not to the pastor, not to you, but to Jesus Christ. We want to be able to point people to Jesus Christ, to restore marriages, to restore families, to restore careers, to restore school, those that are in school and society, wherever you are, to help restore them, to become kingdom-minded. Third thing is we've got to have an appreciation of each other. We're in a period like this, in a time of COVID, when the world is upside down, Acts 17, these men that you sent us have turned our world upside down. Well, COVID's turned our world upside down, but Jesus is not, God is not, well, I don't know what to do now. We got to learn to actually dig into God and stay there. Value community, value God in numbers, value to each other, value one another. I don't normally do this, but turn to someone and say, do you know that you're valuable? You are valuable. Last one, completion. Complete the task he has for you individually and for us corporately. Next to him and next to him and next to him. It's not just a cute saying. There has to be depth and meaning to it. Walls and gates in our lives that remain unfinished, complete the task. They need to be restored and rebuilt. And the question is, are you willing to play on this team? Are you want to be on Jesus' team? Or you want to do your own thing? Why? In order to do this, and I just love the way Kevin opened up, we have to remain faithful. He is faithful all the time, even when we are faithless. Let's just get that out the way. So the second point is partnerships of faithfulness. You see, I can't make this stuff up. 1 Corinthians 4:1. This is how one should regard us. This is how other people should look at us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required, it's a must of stewards that they be found faithful. You want to be a steward of Jesus Christ? Be faithful. Unless we have our walls and our gates in good repair, how can we assist others that come in? No, sorry, I've got enough issues in my life. I just don't need another person. Well, we have to understand also that Nehemiah had no respect for title, for position, for whatever strata of society you came from, what job you had, were you rich or poor, whether you were young or old. He got people from all strata of life and assigned each of them different tasks to do, as we have all been assigned our tasks. And God, in his grace and mercy, adds people to this church, add them to his kingdom. We must prove faithful with them. You might have heard us say, follow, come be with us and we will do you good. We got to get the heartbeat of God into our hearts. When God sends those to be saved, we must prove faithful with them. God is not stalled by COVID. I know my brain runs ahead of me. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit having a meeting. It's COVID on earth. What are we going to do? No, they're not stalled. They know exactly. Well, because sometimes we've been stalled, that's true, and some are still paralyzed in fear, afraid to move forward in God, move forward in anything, yet His plan for the kingdom is still advancing. His plan is still that His kingdom was moved. That plan has not changed. And as I often say, you got to get on the train because the train is moving. And if you're not on the train, we'll see you at the next station. Walk with us and we will do you good. Faithfulness is worked out in partnerships, in every version of church life. On the worship team, the connect group, leading a connect, being part of a connect group. So many people have decided to dial out. Now, I don't understand that personally, but media team. We've been shouting for weeks for people to come and help us and be part of the media team. Praise God for those that did step up. But we need more to help this. We need someone to actually lead this. Is that someone you? Kids church. Can I just say this again? You, with all respect, have absolutely no idea how much work goes behind the scenes with some of the young ladies, Shan, Jess, Sherry, and Janine, that go on behind providing programs and things for your kids, and you'll see what's happening soon coming. They've been working hard at it. And you sit down and watch this thing, and you have no idea how much work. And I just want to acknowledge those ladies for the work that they are doing behind the scenes to make life good for your children. I encourage you, be a good parent and help your children, help to raise them in the way of the Lord. They have given an amazing tool to do that. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. Let me move on. Paul's encouragement to the church at Colossae is this, Colossians 4:17. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Now, some people dial and go, well, that's just for the pastors or the elders and the deacons. No, no, no. That's for all of us, for the church at Colossae. In Colossians, he writes that, see that you remain faithful in the ministry you have been given. We have all been given a task in a ministry. We must be faithful to complete it and to work at it and what God has given you to do. Nehemiah 4:6 says, so we built the wall, and the wall was joined together to half its height for the people who had a mind to work. Remember in one of the series we did, we said, we build the wall for the day of battle. Horse gate. We build the wall for the day of battle. We don't build the wall half-heart. We don't go, okay, well, that looks good enough now. We can fix the rest with duct tape, or we can just someone else can come and do it. You know what? You might be that someone else. Let's build the wall to its full heart. We don't want to do things half-heartedly. We can't come into the life of the church with all the respects and worship half-heartedly. Let that sink in for a while. Break that in our lives. Engage with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Engage. Well, I don't sing, so it's not about singing. I'm so glad that I'm wearing a mask now. You can't hear what I'm singing about. That's why I'm not up here. Only some people come up here. The rest of us are down there. We are the choir for heaven. And when about a timer goes from our lips to His ears, we are all perfect pitch. Let me encourage you in that. Our prayer life, half-hearted. God's word, reading God's word life, half-hearted. Our lifestyle, half-hearted. Our witness, half-hearted. Our attendance, half-hearted. Our generosity, half-hearted. That's good enough. Let me ask you this question. Most people don't like me asking this question. Is the Spirit, this is Revelation 3:16. So because you are lukewarm, half-hearted, and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Who wants to hear those words from God? Hey, not I. I don't know about you. In the spiritual sense here, lukewarmness is a picture of indifference, apathy, and compromise. In trying to be both things, hot or cold, you end up being nothing. It's getting very quiet in here. You know what happens when we build half heart? When the enemy comes, he sees the half heart, it's easy for him to jump over, and then he's inside the walls. The last thing you want is the enemy inside the walls. We want to be running at full maximum, walls built to maximum height. We should be living, worshiping, praying, witnessing, giving all at maximum. Why? For King Jesus. Not to satisfy me, not to satisfy the other pastors, not to satisfy your husband or your wife or your kids, but for the King, for Jesus. And I know some of you are mad with me. I guarantee you, you do not live the rest of your life half-heartedly. You don't do your sport half-hearted. You don't do your career. Well, I trust you don't, half-hearted. Yeah. Nothing worse than having an employee who's half-hearted. Or a boss who's half-hearted. You know that other life? Well, let me help you today. We've often separated sacred and secular. And let me tell you, there is no such thing as sacred and secular. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you live in His kingdom, if you've been taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, there is no sacred or secular. It is Jesus front and center, and everything else happens around there. We need a revelation of this, that we only have one life to live. We only have Jesus at the center, full bore, full maximum, no separation. Nehemiah had a plan for partnerships of faithfulness. The meaning, as Kevin often says, all in. Are you all in the kingdom of God? Not half-hearted, not finishing the task. We need to learn to complete the task. Nehemiah 4:13. So in the lowest parts of the spaces behind the walls, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Nehemiah had a plan for half-heartedness. Have you got a plan? What is your plan? Let's complete the task. We have to continually deal with the half-heart walls that we built. What I talk about, we have to learn to go back about recurring sins and bad habits that stop us from living the life to the fullest. Go back to the dung gate. Sort out the dung gate. Go back to the valley gate. Walk through some valleys. Climb some mountains. Get rid of those issues. The enemy is ever vigilant in watching us and where we're going, what we're doing. He's always on the prowl. Scripture tells us that. Looking for the low places, seeking where he can break in and jump over. We have to set our guard in place. We have to be watchmen on the towers, watching our walls, watching our gates, making sure. Well, how do I do this? Ask Holy Spirit, Lord, what is it that I need to deal with? What gate do I need to deal with? He will tell you. And some of you are afraid to ask because it might mean you might have to make some adjustments. Nehemiah 4:14, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. This should encourage you. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Even in this time, take courage. God is for us. Who can be against us? God is working for us. The way maker. He is working when we don't even know He's working. And we've got to be continually, not half-hearted. When we've done everything, Ephesians tells us to stand. Stand. Lift up your shield. The whole bit. Remember, the Lord is great and awesome. He's never lost a battle. He is the victor. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It's just that we go, oh, I'm just so tired. I can't do this. You can. Don't be afraid. Remember, the Lord is great and awesome. He is on your side. He is this big father, and you are the little toddler running around, and His goodness is coming after you. His faithfulness is always with you. He's in your corner, fighting for you. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. Well, that covers everything. Go back to the horse gate. Pick up the sword in the spiritual warfare. Stand on God's promises. Go back to the old gate. Find out what His promises are for you, what His word says. Number three, complete the task, arise and build his kingdom. Well, it's just all about me. Okay, so let me say one more time. It's not. It's about the king and his kingdom. Well, do I count? Absolutely. Why? Because you are of high value to us and to him. But we got to separate that and put Jesus first and ourselves second. Point number one, everyone is important, has a place and a task. Now, we're not going to do it this morning, but I challenge you. Go home and read Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 7 to 67. Come back next week and tell me if you made it. Why? Because you are highly valued. Nehemiah 7, verse 6, that's the only one we're going to read. These were the people of the province who came up out of the captivity of those exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried into exile. They returned to Jerusalem and Judea, each to his own town. They came with Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Ramiah, Nahamani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispereth, Bigvai. I like that name, Bigvai. Where's Bigvai? I need Bigvai. Nahum, Bana. Lovely names. I get stuck on Bigvai. It's just like, okay, we want Bigvai to come and move all this equipment.
Oh, you see Bigvai, come.
Anyway, these people spent 70 years in Babylon. Read the history. That's all they knew. They just knew Babylon and captivity. I'm here, I'm stuck in Babylon, and I'm in captivity. Now they've been set free. Now they come into their promised land. We have to understand, people will come in here like they are living in Babylon, but they will come in here and they need to first touch the sheep gate. And we've got to help them get to the sheep gate. Some of these captives that came, they'd never got to the sheep gate. They were still in Babylon. Life was easier in Babylon, but it was better in Jerusalem. Life is, sometimes you think, oh man, this is so much fun. I'm having so much fun in my sin. This is better. It was the old covenant, was good. New covenant, better. Okay, we see in this list that you can go and read it, please. Things were important. Each individual was important. They used specific names or mentioned. You want to go and practice your Hebrew names? Go in for it. What families they came from was important. Many family heads are named in that list. Their gift to support the work was important. Your gift to support the work, getting this thing together, making this work together, the bridge, making his kingdom larger, work is better. We have to understand that if you go and read towards the end of that chapter, you will also see back in chapter 3 when we started this, that these workers were not all builders by trade. There were priests, Levites, rulers, common people, gatekeepers, goldsmiths, pharmacists, merchants, temple servants. And they even involved the women. No, that's all the men's work. We're not in the men. No, they all got involved because there was building to be done. And Nehemiah had this plan. Sadly, the only ones, if you go and read it, were the nobles of Tekoa. They were too arrogant, too prideful to serve. How are you doing? Number two, kingdom builders step up in partnership. Nehemiah 7:1, now when the wall had been built and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers and the Levites had been appointed. Okay, you're the singers. They were appointed. They were there to lead the people into worship. The walls were not so built so we could go, oh man, look at that. I know, look at that, amazing. Look at our building, isn't that amazing? That's not the point of it. The point of it, that they were built so they could worship God, that they would be safe, that the gates would be secure, that the walls would protect, that they could worship God. That's the point of when Moses led the people out of Egypt, took them in, go and read it. Oh, are they getting it out? No, they went out into the desert so they could worship the God, their God, in truth and in spirit. That's why they left. That was the plan. And that is his plan always for us, that we could worship him in liberty and freedom. The walls were not there just to protect them, but they also needed to put diligent watchmen on the walls to guard the walls and to guard the to be guarded in partnership. Often a victory is won and later lost because there's no guard, no partnership. Watchmen, I think we had that in the prophetic word this morning, talking about guarding and watching. We have to learn to be that. Over this course of time, a number of people have ceased to be on watch. It just got too hard. If that's you, you're probably not listening now, so it's probably wasted air, but just in case you listen later, I encourage you, get back to church or watching online, whatever you feel comfortable with. This is not a condemnation thing, but it's for the sake of your soul. The walls and gates are important. Speak of gates and walls, biblically symbolized. The gates are places of entrance, that's door, but they're also places of power and authority in the Bible. Walls are protection, separation, security, not just to keep evil out, but also to keep the good continuing so we can go out. The concept of the gates and walls is important for us to understand because we live in this world, and sadly, this is what the church over time has taught, that we just like to minister into the areas where we're comfortable. We want to do with whatever presses my buttons, what makes me feel good. And that's important. That's good to do that. But that's not how we build kingdom. We have to look at the gates and the walls that are in between, and we keep the big picture in mind, the kingdom picture. Evangelists want to evangelize all the time. Well, Scripture says to Philip, go and do the work of an evangelist. We are all meant to live at the fish gate in some fashion or form. We are all meant to evangelize. We are all meant to witness. This is not. There are those that God has called to be evangelists, but doesn't mean, well, we just leave it up to them. Because 1 Corinthians 12, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we've asked this question, which is the most important gift? The one that is needed right then and there. If you're sick, you do not need another prophetic word. You need someone to come and lay hands on you and allow the Spirit of God touch you and heal you. Amen? Good. Okay. Power people want to pray for the sick all the time. That's a good thing. Nurturers want to care for people all the time. The problem is that when they are nurturing and caring for the people, they never give them opportunity to grow up and to mature and to look to Jesus. And we've got to learn to help that. The musicians or the people who love to worship say, no, let's just all worship all the time. Number one, it's not biblical. Number two, it's a bad lesson the church has taught you. We come to church to worship. No. We come to church and we sing songs for a while. We should learn to have a worshipful lifestyle. Worship God in every aspect. If you like to sing, put a CD. I don't know if we still do that in cars these days. Put a CD or an EP or Spotify, whatever you want to do, and worship. When we come to church, there's a time for many things to take place. But if you want to really get into the presence of God, do that all day, every day. Wake up, worship. During the day, worship. And that doesn't just mean singing songs, but if you love to sing songs, then worship. Did I make that clear? We have to learn that the gates take us out of our speciality focus. We become GPs for the kingdom, general practitioners, because sometimes we need to look at all the gates and the walls in our lives. There wasn't one of those 10 gates that we looked at that you could dial out and say, no, that gate doesn't apply to me. They all apply to us. But I really like this gate. I really like the fountain gate. I love Holy Spirit. That's good. And we love the sheep gate. We want to see people get saved. But we cannot do the sheep gate in lieu of also not doing the fish gate and the old gate and the valley gate and the dung gate. Etc., etc., etc. I feel like Yul Brynner in The King and I. Because sometimes we can get so busy with what we're doing that we lose the big picture. Of course, we should worry about all the gates. When we understand and grasp the intention of the church and His kingdom and the function in it, then we will have a look at all the walls, all the gates, to make sure that they are functioning well. Well, we're all at this gate doing this thing. Well, what about the other 9 gates? And when I've repaired this gate and this is working well in my gate, then we've got to move on to the next one to make sure that as well, so that we are building for maximum, not for half-heartedness. Amen. Kingdom builders are faithful and God-fearing. Number 3. Nehemiah 7, verse 2. I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem, for he was more faithful and God-fearing man than many. Talking about Hananiah there. Hanani was his brother. Remember, Hanani is Nehemiah's brother. He came to him, chapter 1, said, do you know that the gates all messed up? There we go. They were selected to put in charge because they were men with good character. God wants to do more in us than He wants to do through us. He wants to make sure that we are working and functioning. Yet the problem is we want to be doing rather than being dealt with. Because dealt with can be sometimes a little bit painful. Sometimes, I don't want to deal with the dung gate. I like the dung gate. Don't like the dung gate. Get rid of the dung gate. Heal it. The avenues of ministry are littered with the bodies of men and women who never allowed God to properly shape their characters. Gifting will always carry you. You don't lose your gifting. Your gifting will, but your character will fail you. You can't have a bird flying on one wing. It's got to have both wings flapping together. Gift, character. The ministry is not about gifting, but it's all about character. When I talk about ministry, I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about all of us. We're all in ministry. I hope you'd know that. Nehemiah's ministry was all about his character. Character in the beginning, character at the end. Acts 4:13. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated common men. They were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. You want to repair stuff? Get with Jesus. Spend time in His presence. Spend time. Janine brought the word this morning. Journaling the goodness of God. Not like, well, I messed up here, I failed there. God knows that. You don't have to remind Him when you journal it. Journal how good God is. How He's helped you. These men were not schooled men, no university degrees, no celebrity status, no upper echelon of society, not cream of the top drawer people. They were just ordinary, common men who had been with Jesus and were well-formed characters. You want to be promoted in the kingdom? You want God to give you more responsibility? Fashion and form your character so God can use you. Build character in His presence. Build character in worship. Build character in prayer. Build character in His word. Build character in His spirit. Character, character, character. Did I say that enough times? Number 4, kingdom builders will pay the price. Now, this is all about money here, but that's not what the point I want to make. And when it says, Nehemiah 7, verse 7 says, now some of the heads of fathers, doesn't mean that some of the people, some of the heads of the families. Now, read it carefully. Some of the heads of the fathers' houses gave to the work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 derricks of gold, 50 basins, 30 priest garments, and 500 minas of silver. And some of the heads of the fathers gave into the treasury of the work. So it's different. Some gave here, some gave there, some gave over there. And some of the heads of the father's house gave the treasury of the work 20,000 derricks of gold and 2,002 minas of silver. And what the rest of the people gave was 20,000 derricks of gold, 2,000 minas of silver, and 67 priests. You think God is in the detail? He could have just said, and they all gave a whole bunch of stuff. But He's into detail. We can look at that again. This was an overly generous people who did not see the sacrifice for themselves, but for the task at hand. They saw it wasn't about me, it was about we. It wasn't about just my deal, it's about the kingdom of God. Whenever there's a task to complete, there will always be a personal sacrifice. There is financial giving, however, just as important, if not even more important. There's time, servanthood, prayer together, and resources. Sometimes you just like this afternoon at 5:30. You'd rather be snoozing and sleeping. It's a price we are willing to pay to gather together to pray. You want revival? You want results? Well, come and pray. I'm not trying to manipulate you. Please hear my heart in this. If we want a little, you know, family that prays together, stays together, something else goes like that. You want to see your marriage healed? Seek God's ways. It will cost you. It costs me, and it costs my wife, and it costs any married couple, yeah, individually and together. To see His kingdom come and His will being done will cost. I think it was Francis Schaeffer who said this: majority of people see the church there for their own personal benefit. I know Rick Warren, they did a thing and they said they did a study and they found 87% of the people thought the church was there for their needs. Then they went and did the same survey with pastors. And pastors thought 87% of the people were there because they loved coming together. And they realized, no, that's... We got to come. We got to come with the 1 Corinthians 14 thought in our mind. We all come together, but some with a hymn, some with a song, some with a prophetic word, some with the scripture reading. That's the body of Christ functioning together. When we come, now what can I get for today? What can I give for today? At the end of the day, God is still going to ask when we get to the inspection gate like we did last week, say, were you faithful what I gave you to do with? Number 5, kingdom builders care for one another. Nehemiah 1:3. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province have had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem broken down, its gates are destroyed. Now the important part. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. The concept of next to Him and next to Him and next to Him reveals a caring heart, a continued partnership in building. Do you care for the person sitting next to you and 4 seats away, 6 feet away from you because your family's all together? The language, I love the language. We have to learn to listen to the language. Let us rise up and build. So they strengthen their hands. So we built the wall. Inclusive partnerships, caring about one another. Not like, okay, well, you just get on with that thing and I'll just sit by and watch you do it. We've got to care for one another. I remember many years ago, Jim Lamont, some of you know, got a deep Irish accent. He preached this message, curing for the shape. We all sat and looked at him. I'm thinking with my notebook, what did he just say? Curing for the shape. What did he say? Caring for the sheep. We've got to care for one another. When you go and you read Nehemiah 7, I'm trusting you will, 7 to 67, see how disciplined you are. You will wonder, what is the deal about all these names? And even why did Mark say, read this stuff? I don't want to read this stuff. If you really want to test yourself, go and read Leviticus. We can only get on with the task when we realize how interested God is in the detail. I told you that before. Look how exacting God is when you read this. God is interested in numbers. Oh, I thought it wasn't all about numbers. Well, 42,360 and 7,337 servants and 245 singers and 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, 6,720 donkeys. Even the donkeys get a number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can you imagine? The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 8, verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? God is interested in the, well, does God really know who I am? Does God really care about me? Absolutely. If he can number the donkeys, he can care about you. Ay, ay, ay. For us to mature and to go and to advance the kingdom, that's what it's all about. We have to be mindful of people too. Ministry, not just pastors, all of us, our job, my job, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, Ephesians chapter 3, that's my job, that's the pastor's job, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, is people intensive sport. If you don't like people, I suggest you get on your knees before God. God, give me a love for people. I know my mother at one stage in her life said the more she got to know people, the more she loved animals. She told her where she was at that stage of her life. The question is, when God sends, we will see a mighty move of God when we start to really care for one another. When we get people to inconvenience ourselves by people who are strong people, weak people, disturbed people, broken people, hurt people, needy people, lonely people. Freedom session is for you. When last did you sit down? Think about this though. When last did you sit down and weep for someone and fast for them and cry out to God for them? Take them, I know in these times now we can't invite them over, but take them a meal. Do a random act of kindness. It's a good opportunity to become creative. Oh, I've gone so much longer today. Sorry, guys. Kingdom builders are guardians. We had that prophetic word come out again this morning. Nehemiah 7:3, and I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun is hot. And while they are still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts and some in front of their own homes. We are to be ever vigilant, always on guard. The enemy, your enemy, goes around seeking, looking for you. We can't just say the walls and gates are up, now we can just relax. No, no, we then go and we have to continue. He will come and continue to cajole you, speak into your brain, say things in your head that are not true. He will lie to you. Matthew 24 says, even the elect will be deceived. We don't want to be there. 2 John 1:8 says, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Our systematic study of these gates has a purpose and a plan to restore and bring life into your life and into the church and the kingdom. It's so the enemy cannot break in and scale over your walls. We don't only look after our own household. We look for our neighbors, those around, our friends, our neighbors. Guard the deposit that is in you, Timothy. Nehemiah was wise to set guards in the gate. Set a guard in our place. Give thanks for God what he has done. Stop asking for stuff and give him thanks for a change. Pray protection over issues. Number 7, we're done. Kingdom builders use what God has entrusted to them. Nehemiah 7:4, the city was wide and large, but the people within it were few, and no houses had been rebuilt. Wow. Now, sorry, we're building the wall, we're getting the gate, but I need to go and fix my house first. They said, no, 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 let's get the walls and the gates up, then we'll tend to our houses. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Through this rebuilding, God created a space for them to grow and worship. These were kingdom-minded people who built the gates and walls, then attended their homes. Has your capacity increased? Has your capacity for the lost sheep at the sheep gate? Has your capacity for the fish gate witnessing increased? Has your capacity for his word, Holy Spirit, water gate, fountain gate, old gate? Have they grown? Has your capacity to deal with sin? Have you learned to say no to sin? Walked through the valley gate, got to the dung gate, nailed that thing shut, and carried on? Have you become more intimate with Jesus? God creates space and capacity, not so that we can just have spacious capacity placed to, we can do this thing, but so that we can fill it in connect groups and freedom session and hospitality and partnership, serving one another. The second point to that is God's plan is to fill the space with people. It's not just about us four and no more. It's about His kingdom. Then God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the people to be enrolled by genealogy. Nehemiah received in his heart to restore the walls and gates of the city, to create a space in order for the people had their hearts to be kingdom-minded. Taken us 13 weeks to get to the point for us to realize this is about the King and His kingdom. Not for us to be introspective, but there's work to be done on each one of us. And as we go through it, we work. God will constantly deposit new things to people who will obey, will take seriously what He has entrusted us to do, to be faithful, and will complete the task. Last question. Are you going to be those people? Amen.